What role on the men's league team would Flaming play? I'm not sure. What role would you play, Flamer?
You know what role I actually played? I was the package part of the package deal when my brother signed up with the team because he was a stud. He was a star, and I was the throw-in.
We forgot about that guy. It's so true, though. Right? It's so true. You're like, oh, we really want this guy. And it's, oh, okay, well, we'll take him. As long as, but yeah. you got to be a good teammate guy, right?
Yeah. Our team was awesome. Our team name, we played out just west of Stony Plain. It was the little area called Blueberry. We were the Blueberry Muffins, and we had the most ferocious logo ever. Think old school, a Buffalo Sabres blue and gold jerseys, and a blueberry muffin with this snarl on the front.
Oh, my
bowl.
God. You guys were the Blueberry Muffin. That is so great.
And we used to play, you know your buddy, Yoni Nieminen.
Yeah.
We used to play against his club all the time. We used to own them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I played Yoni, and we played against each other in the world's That's longest right. game back in 05. Yeah, I think he was about minus 67 in that game. So it was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Oh, that's men's league. Do you play men's league now?
Not anymore. I haven't for about 10 years, but used to.
Are you playing in the media game on Saturday?
I have not gotten the invite.
Well, I don't think Nielsen's organizing, so yeah. Well, now that you've shed about, what are you down now, like 60 lbs? You should be flying out there.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I forgot. I'm actually in North Dakota this weekend.
Oh, well, there you
go.
So
I won't be around.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Let's give me your thoughts, first of all, on the Draisaitl trade. Did PA do pretty well?
I think in the big picture, yeah, they do, because they get a lot for a guy is only going to be in the league for 4 months. So from that perspective, yes. If you look at it included with the Josh Morrissey deal, which I think if you took that just separately, they didn't get nearly enough for Josh Morrissey. So you put the two together, I think they come out all right. I think Leon Draisaitl obviously is going to have a huge impact, or should, with the Kelowna Rockets. And they get some pieces, including a first-round pick this year, which is going to be obviously a 20 or 21, 22 kind of a pick. But it is a first-rounder, which Kelowna doesn't give up very often. So I think PA does all right.
Kelowna, now Draisaitl moves in. He's obviously going to be their number one center, I assume. Charche moved down. Is that how you see it?
It depends. I mean, they might have a 1 and 1A kind of situation. That the top line that they've had all year has been really, really good. So they may just leave those three together and call it 1A, 1B.
So who would fill out the top six in Kelowna now?
Oh, that's a great question. They have so much talent in Kelowna these days. Justin Kirkland comes from Camrose. He was drafted last year by the Nashville Predators. He'd probably be in the mix, although he's probably a third-line guy for them, as deep as they are. Tyrell Goldburn, a Philadelphia Flyers prospect, is there and can be a contributor. I mean, you've got Charche and Merkley and Tyson Bailey, so you're looking for other guys to step in. So, Thomas Schustel is a good player. I don't know off the top of my head who Draisaitl is going to line up with. I guess we'll wait and see. They'll play tomorrow night.
Other deals that have been made right now, Kelowna's added Morrissey and Draisaitl from PA, yeah. So they've obviously done very well. Brandon, of course, makes the big deal getting Klimchuk. Outside of those top two teams, has anybody else really improved themselves? Do you expect anyone to improve themselves before the deadline?
Well, Reid Gowell from the University of Manitoba left CIS to go back to the Brandon Wheat Kings too. So they had an overage player that is 65 points off the back end. So Brandon did pretty well here in the last couple of days. I also like what the Medicine Hat Tigers and the Red Deer Rebels have done. Really surprised at kind of what Regina has done by trading away all of their good 18 and 19-year-old players. And look like they're in third place in the conference and basically pulling the chute on the season, which is a little surprising. But their loss is the gain for Medicine Hat and Red Deer as they kind of pick the carcass now from the Pats and have loaded up. So I like especially what those two clubs have done so far.
Guy Flaming from the Pipeline Show here on TSN 1260 joins us. Him and Millard, two best guys when it comes to junior hockey in the country. Oil Kings, expected any moves from them? I spoke to Randy Hanch today, but he wasn't tipping his hat either way. What do you think?
Yeah, the joke is Randy Hanch doesn't keep the cards close to the vest. He keeps them inside the vest. He doesn't share a whole lot. I do expect the Oil Kings will make some moves. I don't know as of yet if they're going to be buyers or sellers, though. I think they're probably just going to add a piece or two. I'm not expecting Tristan Jarre to be traded at this point. That could change over the next two or three days, but he would be the big piece that everybody is waiting to see if they move. He and probably a guy like Ashton Sautner off the back end as an overage guy who would probably fetch a pretty decent return as well. But at this point, where they are in the standings, still in the hunt for home ice advantage in the first round, I don't think that the Oil Kings are going to sell off. So I would expect that they'll add maybe a piece or two, a veteran defenseman, maybe somebody else that can add a little offense up front as well.
Now they're basically getting a whole line back.
Yeah.
Right. That's so. You think the Oil Kings are good enough to stay in the playoffs?
Oh, they'll stay in the playoffs. I don't think anybody that's behind them right now will catch them. I don't think that's a concern. It's where they're going to end up in the playoff picture, whether they're going to be, one of the crossover teams with a wild card spot, and then they'd have to go to Brandon and take on the Wheat Kings in the first round. But where they are right now in the standings, it's so close, and they're still almost 2.5 months still to play. You know, they're neck and neck with Kootenay and Red Deer and Calgary, and one of those four teams is going to have to go east and probably end up playing against the Brandon Wheat Kings. The other one, you know, the other three are fighting it out for to be the host in the number two spot in the division.
When Braden Point comes back for Moose Jaw, do you think that's enough to get them to the playoffs?
No, I don't think that's enough to get them back in the playoffs. Depending how far Regina falls, and I think everybody expects they will, I don't think they're going to fall from 51 points and third place in the conference right out of the playoff picture. They've got, Moose Jaw's only got 36 points, so they're well behind. But can Moose Jaw catch Swift Current? I don't think so. Who knows? Injuries can play a role here, and maybe Swift Current's not done dealing as well. And it's been pretty quiet out of Moose Jaw. They have a really good 20-year-old in Jack Rodewald that I think a lot of teams would like. But I'm not hearing anything about whether Moose Jaw is willing to sell off yet. So they may be still a team that maybe they add something late this week to try to give them a push to try to catch one of the teams they're chasing.
What about Eberle? I think he's got 25 goals.
Yeah, Tanner Eberle would be a nice piece as well. So if Moose Jaw wants to take a page out of Regina's book and start trading off and building for the future, they have the pieces that they can do that. I don't think Braden Point's the guy they'll move because he can come back next year and help them out. And if they have to trade him then, you'd get a huge payday for him. But as they are right now, I don't think Moose Jaw is good enough to get in the playoffs.
Looking at Regina, why do you think they, you mentioned they're third in the conference. Why do you think they sold off so much?
I think they've been burnt. So, it's a new ownership group there as well. And the old ownership group refused to trade their guys, even though it looked like they were going to miss the playoffs, and ended up, that was the case. When they had Jordan Eberle and Colton Tubert their last year in the league, Regina missed the playoffs and didn't trade those guys. And that, not moving those guys, set that organization back probably 2-3 years in what would be a normal rebuild. And then they did the same thing the next year with Jordan Wheel, and they didn't move him when they could have. So this year, I think the new ownership of the Pats are looking at it and saying, our guy moving forward is going to be Sam Steele. Let's build around him. So they're trying to assemble a team and get guys that can be dominant players, not next year, but probably the year after that, and build around Sam Steele when he's an 18, 19-year-old.
Guy Flaming joins us. Guy, give me your thoughts. World Juniors wraps up. Outstanding game. You can't have a great game unless you have two good teams. And give Russia all the credit for coming back in a game that looked like they were out of it and made the third period extremely exciting to watch and nerve-wracking at times, which I think makes it more entertaining from a fan perspective. I know the United States lost in one game to Russia, and when you saw Russia take Canada 5-4, like, I know people said, well, what happened to the United States? Maybe it's just that they lost to a very good team.
Well, that's true. And listen, the U.S. really shot themselves in the foot. I think they beat themselves at taking so many penalties against the Russians. And I thought the Russians played them very well. And, you look what the Russians did against the Swedes as well, and I think you're right. It's not that the U.S. really did anything that they didn't show up or they didn't pick the right players. They just ran up against a very good team in the Russians. And so I think it has more to do with the team that beat them than that they weren't up to the task.
Darnell Nurse, there's a lot of people say, oh, he's got to fill out. Well, yeah, of course, he's 19 years of age. But, sure. Darnell Nurse's game has come a long way in the last year.
I don't disagree with that at all. This was unbelievable hockey he was showing at the World Junior. And, I think he's a guy who's simplified his game, and that was the knock on him in years past, is that he was trying to do too much and that he'd roam a little too far to make sure he threw out the big hit. And he's toned that part of his game down. I think that's mental maturity, and the physical maturity will come as well. Let's just hope that the Oilers don't do what they did this year with Draisaitl, and that I know I heard you saying it yesterday as well. If they have the chance to add a free agent defenseman, they should, instead of thinking we have Darnell Nurse coming so we don't have to. Make him earn the spot next year. If he starts on the farm, that would be the best thing for everybody, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. When you look at the World Junior, and you know what? There's a lot of kids at the World Juniors, that's really kind of the highlight of their career, right? And this is a really hard question, Guy, but when you look at Canada's World Junior team, is there one player that you think, you know what? I'm not sure he's ever going to go to the NHL and be a successful NHLer.
Well, I guess you can. Well, that is a tough question. You'd probably have to look at some of the smaller offensive guys. I mean, Nick Petan has all the skills in the world and is a fantastic junior hockey player. He could be one of those guys who gets to the American League and an all-star every year, but for whatever reason just can't turn it at the NHL level. I think he will. I think he'll be a Jaden Schwartz type of guy. But, you know, that's a question mark. Joe Hicketts is, I mean, so small. I'm a huge fan of Joe Hicketts, but I'm trying to remember who the Detroit Red Wings had as a defenseman that was outstanding at the World Junior and completely fell off the map the following year. It's about 5 years ago. Played for the Regina Pats. The name is just eluding me now. It could be a situation like that for him. Some of the guys like Nick Paul that I'm not as familiar with coming out of the OHL, that's not to say that they're not good players, but they're not household names. So, but you're right, Jason. You look over the years, and every year these are the best players of their age group in our country, but there's always a handful of them that that don't go on to the NHL.
Yeah, Wicketts was one guy. I agree with you. I saw him in, you know, small defenseman like that in today's NHL game. It's, yeah, you know, it's extremely hard to do. Now Ryan Ellis has done it in Nashville, but Ellis was bigger than him.
Oh yeah, yeah. Joe Hicketts is a small guy. I mean, even Chris Russell is another small defenseman who's probably had a better career than a lot of people expected. But Chris Russell is bigger than Joe Hicketts too.
Yeah. It's very interesting, the tournament, the way it goes. And now next year it's in Finland, correct?
That's right, yep.
And are they on a 2-year plan again, or is it just one?
Yeah, back to Montreal, Toronto again the year after that.
I thought it was 2 years in there and then 2 years in a row in Canada. Why are they alternating back like that?
That's a question for Hockey Canada. I couldn't tell you that. I know that was that it was set up. I know it was in Russia and Sweden the year before. So it was a 2-year gap then. Why it's 1 year in Canada, then in Europe, and back to Canada after that, I don't have the answer for that one, Jason.
Flamin, always good to talk to you. What's coming up on the Pipeline Show?
Well, we'll be talking a lot about the CHL trade deadline. So we'll be going across the country. We'll talk about the guys in the queue. Their deadline is actually today. So if there were some big moves there, we'll talk about that. Same thing in the OHL, and Dino will join us to wrap up the World Junior and look at the trade deadline in the WHL as well. And Tuesday nights, Medic always has Inside the AJHL. So we'll get the latest on the Alberta Junior League too.
Always good to talk to you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.